Please welcome Rachel Ross.
So this story is a little risque, a little X-rated maybe. If you might be offended by anything, you can get a cappuccino. I will not be offended. I'm very comfortable telling it, and I hope you enjoy it. Being busty or top heavy or stacked, as it was called back in the day, was not very comfortable for a young person who developed really early. I got tall later on in my teenage years, but at 12 I was still kind of short, but really, really top heavy. And that was a problem for running. Now I could play kickball and handball, and I could climb trees, but any kind of longer, sustained running was difficult for me. It was a pretty heavy burden to bear, and I didn't really have to do any kind of running until eighth grade, when the president, John F. Kennedy's he started a presidential fitness curriculum because they were worried that American kids were getting obese, watching too much television at the time. And so they created a curriculum, and they had about 5,000 public schools that were going to be pilots and adopt this curriculum, and there was an incentive if all the kids could pass the 50-yard dash and some of the other things, these schools would get a certain incentive like money. And so in eighth grade, my PE teacher, Miss Letty, was hell-bent on winning this prize from the federal government, and she was having everyone in the eighth grade practice constantly so that we could all in the eighth grade run it under the federal maximum, which was 8 seconds, 50-yard dash. And this was a problem for me because I would run with my hands like this to try to kind of hold everything in. And as you well know, you kind of need that forward motion to propel yourself forward. And this was not something I wanted to do, because for the younger folks in here, if you know the lyrics, "My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard." Anybody know that? Okay. So there was a scrum of teenage boys that would like to gather at the end of the 50-yard dash, hanging from the chain link fence that separated the black top where we did all the running from the basketball courts lower down. And they would get very excited by the sight of this gravitational thing going like this, which was the reason that I would run like this. It was a crucible. Now, Miss Letty had no idea. She was a very small, wiry woman, practically flat-chested. She had no idea of the crucible that I was going through with these, you know, kids down at the end of the 50-yard dash. Nevertheless, we practiced and we practiced. And then the day she announced that in 2 days she would be doing the official recording of the scores to send to the federal government for this fabulous prize that we were going to win if every single eighth grader passed. And if they didn't, they would have to keep running it until they did. So the night before the test, I was mortified, and I decided I've got to figure a way out. And in the morning, I snuck into my mom's makeup drawer and put her lipstick on my face and hot water, a hot compress here, and I told her I felt very sick. And my mom was hard to fool, but She must have been distracted this day because she said, "You do look flushed. I look like a clown, actually." And she let me stay home. She and my dad went to work, and I was very happy I had solved the problem. And the next day, of course, I was better, and I went to school, and Miss Letty announced that the four people who had missed the official record day for the 50-yard dash would do it in 2 days following in front of the whole school, just the four of us. So this was something I was going to have to face. The night before, I went into my dad's drawer, and I got a lot of ace bandages, and I wrapped them very, very tightly around my giant chest, hoping that they would freeze in place or disintegrate or shrink or something, because it was going to be a mortifying test for me with everyone watching. And so in the morning I wore the, they didn't shrink, they didn't disappear, I had to go to school. And I wore the ace bandages wrapped really tight under my t-shirt, and it was the day of the test. And I was going third, and Miss Letty, she was truly clueless as to what I was experiencing. The boys were down there, and they had always let me know, I think that was part of the thrill they got, that I knew that they were watching, because they would do these hand signals like this. So I get to on your mark spot, and Miss Letty pulls her whistle up, puts it to her lips, and I'm just about to go when I hear a whistle sound, but it's not from her lips. And she stopped, she was confused, and we look around, and there was Mr. Forges, my hero, my history teacher. He was the one who said, "Rocky, you got the makings of a good writer." And I loved his history class. He would make history come alive. We had a great rapport. He said, "Rocky, you got the makings of a good writer, but tone down the florid. You're a little too florid. Just because you know 8 adjectives to describe the Battle of Antietam doesn't mean you have to use them." Mr. Forges was my guy, and he was also a dad, and he was also a coach, and that's why he had a whistle in his pocket right at that very moment. And being a dad and a man and a coach, he sized up the situation right away. He saw those boys hanging off of the chain link fence, and he saw his favorite student over there mortified in her crucible, and he barked, "Hey, boys, I got a extra credit assignment for you. I want you in my room." And I could see the boys going like this, you know, like, "Extra credit? Extra credit?" They didn't know what to do. And just in case they thought that it was a choice, he barked, "Now." And like little puppies with their tail between their legs, they sprinted over to his room and disappeared into his room. Miss Letty put her whistle to her mouth, blew it. I ran the 50-yard dash with open arms, which propelled me all the way to the end of the line under 8 seconds. So I didn't have to take it again. Miss Letty and 8th grade did win the prize from the federal government, having all the 8th graders do it under 8 seconds. And I never had to run the 50-yard dash again. And over time, they started making better support bras. And over time, I started to enjoy my curves. Never the weight, but the curves. And in my 30s, I lived in Brazil for 3 years. And if you don't know, Brazil is the plastic surgery capital of the world. In Brazil, the standard of beauty is very small on top and very big on the bottom. I went to see one of the best plastic surgeons there. They are experts in breast reductions. They don't do insert giant balloons. And I went to see a plastic surgeon, and I told him, I want Brazilian size. And he said, no. He said, you are an American beauty. I will give you American size, but they will be perfect, trust me. It was the best $2,000 I ever invested in myself, and he was right. And they have stood the test of time.